Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The outstanding Brandon Gowden now joins us. BTN, Fox, Madden. Great to see you on Sunday, my friend.
Yes, it was, Steve. It's always good to see you. And there was a chance that I was going to be working the game against Minnesota yesterday, but obviously, unfortunately, that did not happen. So how are you doing?
Doing well, because I thought I was going to be working the Minnesota game, too. And then found out, oh, contraire, mon frere. So now it's on to Iowa for you. What's your next assignment?
I was supposed to have Ohio State on Saturday, but that one I got moved off of that. And now I have Illinois, Maryland tomorrow, and I have Villanova, Georgetown Saturday, and then Purdue, Northwestern Sunday. So I got 3 and 3 days coming up.
All right. So you've been going in the day of games. I mean, I know you did Michigan State, Northwestern on Saturday. Then you came in and did Ohio State, Penn State on Sunday. What kind of organization has it taken on your part to take care of one day after the next like that in different locations?
Yeah, I think what has changed, Steve, is a couple of years ago pre-COVID, you never went in day of unless you just absolutely had to. But I think what last year showed the schedule makers and the bosses is that, well, now we can pretty much pull off anything if we could have gotten through last year like we did. So they still don't want you to travel in day of. But with the COVID issues, announcers are changing games frequently, and you've just got to be flexible. And so the hard part is that flights aren't going as often and with as much reliability. But I think it's just to the point now with all of this stuff where they say, you know what, we are stretched thin with announcers as it is, and with all the COVID issues, we've got to try to get people in different places on back-to-back days. So it has been a little bit of a logistical challenge. Knock on wood, I have not had any issues, and hoping that this next 3 games and 3 days stretch, we don't have any issues pop up. But it has been more difficult, but the summary, Steve, is that I think 3 years ago we would have looked at what we're doing now and said, well, that's crazy. And after doing it last year, we kind of like, well, you know, what's next? So you just kind of roll with the punches.
Right, exactly. What does it take, though, for you organizationally? I mean, how far ahead can you get on somebody? Will you have the Villanova game already prepped before you walk in and do the Maryland game?
Yep, that's a great question. I'm working on Illinois-Maryland right now, and my hope is to get one of the two teams, Villanova, Georgetown, done by the time I go to bed tonight. Now, the tough part is that it's a 7 p.m. tip tomorrow night for Illinois, Maryland, and then a noon tip Saturday for Nova, Georgetown. So there's not much time in between. So I do want to have Nova, Georgetown completely done by the time Illinois, Maryland tips off tomorrow. And then I'm not going to look at Northwestern and Purdue, since I've seen both of those teams several times this month, until after the Nova Georgetown game. Now, the good news with all six of these teams is I have seen all of them, but I have not had Illinois since November. So right now I'm going through and reading all the beat writer articles from the last 3 weeks and really trying to get caught up on what I've missed with Illinois. Because, you know, we all have that follow the league, we all have a cursory level of each team. We know the players. We know most of their stories. But you miss the nuances of who has had a great 5 games, who missed 2 games with COVID. So it's just trying to go back and refresh all of that. But, yeah, I am planning to have both games prepped for before the first one tips tomorrow.
You had Michigan State Northwestern on Saturday. And Northwestern, without Pete Nance, won the game. What really stuck out to you? I know the ending was a little different, but what stuck out to you about that performance by Northwestern on the road? Because they haven't won there, I think, since 2010.
Yeah, it had been a while. And they just struggle with, as most people do, but Michigan State in general. I think Tom Izzo was 39-5 against Northwestern before that game. I guess what stuck out to me was I thought without Pete Nance, they would really struggle in several areas. Obviously, scoring the basketball, I thought they would struggle on the glass. But Ryan Young, I thought, was really the X factor. And the guy that only plays 17 minutes, and most people that follow the Big Ten, they're like, well, who's Ryan Young? Oh, he plays for Northwest. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Because he hasn't really had this career. He's a junior now that's just jumps out at you. But in that game, he was just solid all the way around and really controlled things in the paint. I thought he was the difference maker. Everybody else chipped some, they hit some shots, they had some great stops on defense, but I thought Ryan Young was the difference maker. Now for Michigan State, I just don't know right now, Steve. I look at them and I wonder about their point guard position, and I wonder also late in a game like that. It was almost like, okay, who's the Batman here? Who are you going to when you need a bucket? And I don't know right now that they have that figured out. Obviously, they're good. My question is, are they great? And I guess we'll see that as the rest of the season unfolds. But I think they have to figure out who their go-to guy is in late game situations.
Well, 2 years ago, and Penn State went in there and beat them 2 years ago. And Penn State, as you and I both know, 2 years ago had a really good team. Mm-hmm. Penn State went in there 2 years ago and won. And on that team, Michigan State had Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman, two pros. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. I look at Michigan State because I had them in December. I don't see any pros on this current team. I think it's a bunch of good college players. But I think that's what they are, a bunch of good college players, which I think is rare for Michigan State to not have somebody that's a standout that is a pro.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, most scouts are coming in to take a peek at Gabe Brown, but he still has quite a bit to prove because he's 6'8", and he's not overly strong. He does shoot it well. I think he's near 40% from three. But I don't know that he has all the tools that translate to the next level. Well, we'll see. I could be wrong, and I'm not sitting here claiming to be an NBA scout. But right. Your point is well taken. And the other guy I think that they think has a really bright future is that freshman Max Christie, who's been good and has been coming on late, but he struggled in key moments in that Northwestern game. And he's still a freshman, and he's not one of those freshmen that just looks like this kid that's going to, okay, one and done and jump to the NBA. That's not him. He's going to have to develop and get better. So it from that standpoint, it is different. But if they can get the point guard spot a little bit more solidified, you know, A.J. Hogard and Tyson Walker have kind of been sharing those duties. And as of late, Hogard's had a little bit more success. Walker's the older transfer from Northeastern. I think if they could maybe get some more consistency out of that spot, though, that they're still, as you know, they're still really good, and I think that they can still be really dangerous come February and March.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just they've got a lot of really good college players on that team.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you saw Penn State, Rutgers, and you had Penn State, Ohio State. Micah Shrewsbury, his first year. Now you've seen them a couple of times in person. What do you think about what they're doing with this team?
I like it. To me, so I think I told you this, but Shrews and I were together for 3 years at Butler when he was an assistant there and I was doing Butler's play-by-play.
Right.
And so disclosure, I'm very biased towards Micah Shrewsbury.
So am I. Good. We're on the same page.
But I say that because when I watch him, I see a lot of the old Butler principles. And I don't mean in every way that they're playing. It's different. He's calling his own sets. He's also taken some stuff from his time with Matt Painter. So this isn't a carbon copy of old Butler teams. But especially the pace and the defensive side of things, how tough they are defensively, really reminds me of what I used to see from some of those Brad Stevens coach teams. But I think what's cool, in talking to Micah before the game, and look, every coach does this, but Micah has really taken principles that he learned from Brad at Butler, principles that he learned from Brad in the NBA, and then everything that he learned from Matt Painter, and he's put his own stamp on all of it and put everything into a blender. And he's in his first year, 15 games in? He's still trying to figure out what works. Mm-hmm. But I would say, honestly, if you would have asked me beginning of the season, not because of Micah, I knew Micah would have success, but I think they're ahead of where I thought they would be. And yes, that's because of, you look at what Penn State lost, and yes, they added some new pieces, I get that, and some good pieces, but with what you lost, I actually think that they're ahead of where I thought they would be, and I think that they're going to continue to be competitive down the stretch. I've enjoyed watching them play, and I think the players, I never saw a player, and it's different when they're an assistant, but I never saw a player that had a bad word to say about Micah Shrewsbury in his time at Butler and then at the time at Purdue. Like, everyone always raved about what a great guy he was, what a smart coach he was, and I think that's going to continue. I think he's going to have that reputation as a head coach, and players in that area, and you know how Penn State has that Philly pipeline, I think that reputation's going to get around. They're like, hey, we like to play for this Micah Shrewsbury, and he's going to get a lot out of you, and I think recruiting is going to be helped by that.
Right, and not only that, but I mean, the background with the Celtics and working with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, that resonates with young players. You and I both know that. And at Butler, what I found interesting, we went back and looked at this. When Butler went to the national championship and Gordon Hayward missed the shot from midcourt, he missed it by, what, an inch, 2 inches?
Why are you bringing him back these memories?
I know. I'm killing it. I'll bet you made a great call on it too, because I thought it was going in. But Butler averaged adjusted tempo 59 possessions a game. Penn State's at 63 on adjusted tempo right now. So this is a tempo that he knows how to play at with the right players. And that's what I think a lot of fans may not realize. I think people just thought Butler ran it up and down the floor. You witnessed it firsthand. That wasn't the case.
Yeah, but there's a difference, I think. Here's where sometimes a misnomer can come in. I think people, that's boring. That's not fun to watch. It depends your person. Of course, it depends whether you're winning or losing, right? But beyond that, it depends on your personnel, how you're running sets and what you're doing and how much freedom you're giving your players. And Brad Stevens' players never felt limited. Like, they enjoyed playing for him, not just because he was a good coach, but let me get off my headphones here. They're about to die.
Yeah, it's okay. You can take care of that.
Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear.
Okay, so let me continue with that point. And not just because Brad was a good coach, but no one ever felt like, oh, he's not letting me play my style of game, or this isn't for players who want to get up and down and be athletic. No, they just knew that they were learning a lot, they were running incredible sets, and their IQ in the game of basketball was growing. And so there was never a player, whether it was Shelvin Mack, who was great at getting up and down, Ron Nord, I'm mentioning all these old Butler players, Hayward, too, was up and down. They just weren't worried about that. And I think that's what I see with Penn State, a team that is still fun to watch and that will continue to be fun to watch, even though they may be playing at a lower possession game.
Right, exactly. Exactly, because I see it with this team here. They love playing for them. And, you know, they love what they're running on offense, right? As long as you're playing defense, he's cool with everything that's going on there on the offensive end. I do have to ask you the obligatory Madden question here. people who play the game, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not one of them. I know
neither
you're surprised.
I
know you're surprised. right. But they'll tell me, it's amazing. Like, they'll talk about something that happened last week. How often do you have to update, and how much has that home studio paid off for you?
Yeah, we do it. We usually do sessions every week. So we had one Monday this week. Sometimes during basketball season, it's difficult with the cadence because I'm gone a fair amount on Mondays and Tuesdays, and that's usually when they like to record. But we probably have, gosh, I would say 75 to 100 sessions in a year, probably closer to 100. And they're usually about 2 to 4 hours in length, depending upon how much audio the studio can handle. Right. So it's pretty frequent. It used to be more frequent pre-COVID when we were making those trips down to Orlando. So for the first 3 years, Steve, which I started doing that in 2016, for the first 3 years, I went down there 35 to 40 times a year and would stay there on every trip 2 days. So we were doing more sessions because they were trying to build up the library of commentary on the game. And also because they knew that I was hungry and stupid enough to make all those trips. So, but since they put the little makeshift studio in the house, we're still doing a high volume because that's more than they ever have done on the game before. But since they've had those few years of commentary sessions built up, we don't have to do it as frequently. But it has saved the headache of going down. I live in Atlanta, flying down to Orlando Monday morning at 6 a.m. and then coming back Tuesday on the last flight back. And it, I can't say that it's helped my dating life for some reason, but it has helped my sanity.
That's okay, because believe me, I lived through young, hungry, and stupid. Okay, so okay. I'm still stupid, but you know, and I'm still hungry every day. But I'm not doing crazy. I'm not doing as many crazy things. How about that?
But you mentioned not playing the game. It's interesting. I haven't played the game since. I've played my nephew a couple times because he has the system and he wants to play when I go home for holidays, and he beats me every time. But I haven't played the game since college, and I'm now, gosh, I've been out of college 15 years. So I've kind of had to retrain myself how video games work through the commentary without actually playing it, because I don't know why. I can't stomach being the guy that has a video game system in his living room and is playing it at night, eating Cheetos before he goes to bed. God bless those that do, but I can't bring myself to do it. So.
Well, I know I can't. So I know I can't. It is always great running into you whenever I can. You're one of the best in the business, and I appreciate it very much.
Oh, Steve, appreciate it. You know that goes both ways, and I don't know when I have you guys next, but I know it's in February. Actually, I think I have you the day before Valentine's Day, so I'll bring you some chocolates, okay, and some roses.
Well, wonderful. In fact, you know what? Why don't you save those for your dating life? and I'll just take a nod. How about that?
By the way, I just checked. It's the 15th. I come into State College on the 14th. So I'm going to be putting out the Valentine's Day vibes at the Courtyard by Marriott.
Perfect. Love it. It's literally a half mile from my house. All right. Great.
Oh, man. Always good to talk to you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, brother. Great to have you with us.
All right. Yeah. See ya. Bye.